Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. In this episode of the Raised with Jesus podcast, we have our sermon from this past Sunday, November 10th, Last Judgment Sunday, where we look at what I call the most terrifying parable of Jesus, from Luke chapter 19, the parable of the 10 minas. And stay tuned afterward for a brief addition that fell off my manuscript as I was preaching it. The reading that this sermon is based on can be found in the show notes from Luke chapter 19. Here goes. We consider what I have previously called in this worship service the most terrifying parable of Jesus from Luke chapter 19. Most terrifying parable of Jesus that ends with the king saying, "As for those men who oppose me, bring them here and kill them in front of me. This is the gospel of the Lord." Boy. And maybe that gets us into a little bit what we're talking about today. Now that you're able to head north on Holland, Sylvania. it's been 3.5 months. Now that you're able to head north on Holland, Sylvania, if you head north on Holland, Sylvania, across over Airport Highway, and you drive past Kohl's, and then there's this little squat long building. And it's like a professional office building of some sort. And it's an office for like CPAs and tax accountants. And they usually have like a catchy little phrase or sentence that kind of catches your eye, as most places do. Draw your attention to the building, draw your attention to the sign. And this would have been about 6 months ago, and it's stuck in my head ever since. 6 months ago, before the construction, I was driving back from visiting some of our members up that way. And I was driving back, and their sign said, "It is foolish to avoid, or it is foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided." There we go. "It is foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided." And obviously they're talking about taxes, and they're talking about the reality that that there's the two unavoidables of life, of death and taxes, and even after we pass away, the taxes are still due. I'll leave that to people who know CPA business more than I do. "It is foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided." And that's really what Jesus says for you and for me today. It is foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided. As he tells this most terrifying of parables, as he calls in all these servants who had each been entrusted with the same thing. This isn't that other parable where he talks about the talents, where one is given five, one is given three, one is given one, something like that. They're all given the exact same thing. 10 minas given one each to 10 different servants. And then he calls them in when the king returns. It is foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided. A few months ago, we went through this exact parable with our councilman, in that little council room once a month. And we went through this parable together, and as we got to the end, and I was concluding, and I asked, "Are there any questions?" And one of our more perceptive councilmen, that doesn't really narrow it down because they're all quite perceptive, I would say. One of our councilmen asked, "But Pastor, don't you have a little bit of sympathy for this one guy? Because every time there's an investment, there's an element of risk. And this man knows that he wants to do something with this mina, but he doesn't want to lose it. Every time you invest, there's an element of risk on that return. You could lose the whole thing entirely, and then you come back and I lost it all." That was a good question, because hopefully we see the point of the parable here. That this mina that has been entrusted to our congregation isn't what shows up on our budget sheets. It's not what shows up in the offering plate. It's not how many people populate our pews. This mina that has been entrusted to our congregations as servants of our God is the Word of God, the Gospel. And it's foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided. Now, talking about this one servant who doesn't do anything with it, and maybe it is a little bit of a sympathetic character, because each of us standing here as an observer, well, we could recognize, if I've been entrusted with the gospel, well, I could see the personal risk that would put me at. It might be the dismissive, you know, not my circus, not my monkeys, it's not my responsibility to speak up. It might be the idea that, well, I've got the same Bible as everybody else can read. It might be, you know, here's our church sign and they drive past 25,000 cars a day, drive past our property, and surely they could do the same thing and make the same choice that I did in coming into our parking lot. But every time we make an investment, there's an element of risk. And it's foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided. When we see this man, this servant, come forward, and he's got nothing to show for it. He's been entrusted with this mina, and he's got nothing to show for it. All he can say is, well, I've kept it wrapped up in my handkerchief, tucked safely in my back pocket, and here it is. Exactly what you gave to me. It's the most terrifying parable of Jesus because I don't want to see my reflection in that man's face. But I do. It's the most terrifying parable because I recognize, and we take this day, this last Judgment Sunday, to talk about what cannot be avoided. The fact that even if somebody tries to have their body disposed of and their ashes scattered to the wind or blasted off into outer space, that when Jesus comes back, he's going to reconstitute those very atoms and molecules into the exact same person with the exact same eyes. That despite our best efforts, it is impossible to avoid Judgment Day. And Jesus has entrusted us with this mina of his word. And I think of that, and I think of this guy standing there, and I know my own shortfallings. I know my own unwillingness to speak up. I know even pastorally, I mean, you've called me to do this publicly on your behalf. And you support me generously with the offerings, and you support the Lord's ministry here with the offerings that you give. And I think of myself, and I think, well, I've got 24 hours in a day, surely. Looking back at my schedule, surely there must have been time for one more visit or one more call, or surely, you know, one more perceptive point to bring out in a sermon or a Bible class. Surely there's that one person that I live next door to, and I know that they've got a wrong idea about how to get to heaven. And the other people that live across the street, I know that. Man, there's a lot that they carry, and they don't even know it. And it's very terrifying because I do see my reflection in that man. And maybe you do too. That for long enough, for maybe a long time, it's very easy to ignore. But something can't be avoided. It's very easy to ignore the treasure that we hold and to recognize, well, I know it, I learned it, I've got the knowledge up here, and that's all that I ever need. As long as I can recite the historical facts of our faith, that's all I need. It's important, it's easy enough to ignore the treasure that we share. And to think, you know, that person, if I share God's word with them, that puts me at risk. Because there's a personal relationship here that I don't want to lose. And it's easy enough to ignore the treasure that we hold with the thought that, well, Jesus isn't really going to hold me accountable for that. Because, well, we say Jesus died for everyone, right? Jesus died for every sin. And it's easy enough to ignore our responsibility. And all we can do is throw ourselves at the feet of our Lord, who has done it all. All we can do is throw ourselves at the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, clinging to his cross, saying, just bleed on me so that my sin is covered and washed away. Lord, bleed on me and cover me, not just with taking away my sin, but he says that he himself was faithful with that gospel message. That he knew the risks. And he preached it. And he shared it. And he sent out his disciples. And he still does that. That he himself was faithful in our place, so that you and I, who cannot in any way, shape, or form avoid his return, that you and I will be able to stand before that that king at the end of time, where he makes himself known visibly, that king at the end of time, and say, yeah, on my own, I didn't do anything, but Jesus, you accomplished some pretty great things through a humble failure like me. And thank God for that. That the treasure we carry isn't this injunction to say, well, do better, try harder, and step it up. The treasure that we carry is the fact that Jesus has promised to bless his work here. You see, it's foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided. You gotta get this right. It's foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided, but it is wise to invest what God promises to bless. It's foolish to ignore what will not be avoided. It's wise to invest what will be blessed. And so how do we do that? Because you and I have this truth that that in Jesus, when he returns, when all people stand before him, when all people of all time stand before him in judgment, and he demands holiness, you can hold up and point to him and say, your holiness covers me. That my failings have been washed away. That I've got nothing to worry about. And that is the treasure we share. That is the treasure that we hand out congregationally, together. That is the minna, so to speak, that we invest. And you might say to yourself, but Pastor Hagen, I've read, investments are subject to loss, and I'm sympathetic with this guy that every investment is subject to risk, and there we go. And if there's any element of risk, then I might lose the whole thing. That's the cool thing about the gospel message, is that you don't lose it by investing it. You don't lose it by using it. And so the best question that I've got for you today is, how can we do more to invest God's minna? It's foolish to ignore what will not be avoided. It is wise to invest what will be blessed. So how can we do that? Each one of us individually thinking to yourselves, well, I'm kind of new at this and I'm not much of a people person. That's where, even in the next month and a half or so, we've got kind of a continuum of things. Not much of a people person. Okay. Can you sit at a table on November 22nd and give people cookies and orange juice after they donate blood? Can you sit at a table as they walk in and say, hey, welcome to Resurrection, we're here for your blood. Welcome to Red Friday, the week before Black Friday, right? Clever. maybe that's like the lowest end of the spectrum. Maybe it's even something more simple than that, of talking to your kids and saying, you know what, my faith matters to me. Did you know that? My faith matters to me so much because Jesus has promised eternity to me. And I want you to know that. Because Jesus hasn't told us exactly when Judgment Day is, but I guarantee that for every person here, it's sometime in the next 150 years. We'll narrow it down to the next 100 years if Leland, or whoever's the youngest one here, lives to 101, right? Because even if Jesus doesn't return on the clouds of heaven in the next 100 years, all of us standing here or sitting here today will be dead. And that's your own personal judgment day. And investing this minna means sharing that truth. That my hope is not in what I have done or left undone, but I want you to know the truth. That, you know, Luther's Catechism lays it out fairly simply, that Jesus alone is my hope and my plea. Or maybe we, ratchet it up a little bit more on the risk and possible return side of things. Maybe it's that invitation to the neighbor to say, hey, we've got this Advent, and Advent kind of prepares our hearts for Christmas. Why don't you come to our Advent services? Or better yet, some people think that our service is slightly more difficult to follow along with, so just come to the Bible class. We'll go out to Bob Evans afterward. Bible class starts at 10:20 a.m., and there we can have a discussion about the Word of God. Maybe that does move the risk up for you a little bit, that personal risk where your name is now attached to the work that we do here. But all I'm asking is, how can we do more to invest and be faithful with this minute? Maybe for you, the end of that risk continuum is that family member that you've been avoiding a conversation with. The family member that you've tried, can't think of the words, and it just kind of comes to, well, you know, hopefully we'll see you at church. You know, when we have a brunch or something like that. Hopefully we'll see you at church for Christmas. And maybe you have the words ahead of time. But when it comes to that question of risk and return on our investment, well, the risk just becomes too much. But it's still foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided. But dear friends, Jesus has promised to bless what we invest. And so the question today, no matter where you fall in that continuum, give it a little bit of thought. And the lowest part, the easiest part, isn't even necessarily sitting here for a blood drive or donating a pint of the good red stuff. And maybe the easiest place to start isn't even that conversation with your loved one. Maybe the easiest place to start is just folding our hands and bowing our heads. So please join with me. Dear Jesus, you have told us that it is foolish to ignore what cannot be avoided. And the fact is that you will be coming again soon, and that each of us will face Judgment Day soon. And you have promised us that it is wise to invest what will be blessed, and you have promised that you will bless your word. So give us a good understanding of the risks and the returns that you will promise, and give us the opportunity to try this out, to invest with you and with this congregation, with our hearts and with our lives and with our words. Because as you have said, it is wise to invest what will be blessed, and you have promised to bless your word. All this we ask confidently in Jesus' name, amen.
And that was the final part that fell off my manuscript, so to speak, is that no matter the reaction from others, when we use the word of God, God promises to bless it. That blessing may be to bring that person to faith or bring them back to the faith, bring them to repentance. We might see a quick reaction like that, or it might be a little bit longer, or they might even reject us outright, and the relationship might not improve. But they will have heard the word of God, and you need to have let God have that opportunity to do his work, because he has promised to work through his word. He has promised to bless that word whenever it is used to bring about a change, and a change within a person. And obviously our prayer is that God would eventually use our words and the words of others as we share God's word with people to bring about a change that leads to repentance and faith and life forever in heaven. So let's continue to pray about that, and God bless your day.